Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 12 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Vov. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading in which we attempt to introduce two points, two subjects that will be dealt with in the Mishnah. The first features a point that we've seen earlier in the Masichta, which we've called a Sharsheres Shel Toyos, a chain of mistakes, Shehit'ehu, that a person had made or was made to err, benisue achos ishto, regarding marriages that involve a wife or a sister of one's wife. That will become clear as we go into the example featured in the Mishnah. The second section of the Mishnah deals with Bias ben Tesha b'Yevama, a 9-year-old who is a surviving brother. He had a brother that died, leaving a widow, no children. And this 9-year-old is a surviving brother. And he has relations, he has intimacy, Yibum intimacy with the widow. V'hashpaso al sharachim. What effect does that have regarding the other brothers? In general, we say that a minor does not have the power to acquire. He doesn't have the powers of kinyan. To concretize a deal, to clinch a deal, to make a deal. However, in the case of a Yevoma, the element of marriage was already there as a result of the first brother, the brother that married the woman. He made the deal. He was an adult. Upon his death, the marriage bond or the Yibum bond exists between him and his surviving brothers. So it's not a question here of creating a bond. So in that respect, the issue of the brother being a minor doesn't play a role. The question is, what is the effect of intimacy on the part of a 9-year-old? In other areas of halacha, let us say a 9-year-old would cohabit with a married woman. The married woman would be subject to misas bezdin, to court execution, because the act of intimacy done by a 9-year-old male is considered an act of intimacy. So we'll see more about that later. In the meantime, before we learn the Mishnah, we have a little chart, a diagram, regarding the case that we will see in the Mishnah. So, on the side of the Gemara, you see, going in a horizontally, you see Aim, Av, Aim, Av, Aim, Av, mother, father, and they produce daughters. So, in the first mother-father relationship, we could have used names here, but to reduce confusion, just realize these are all different people. So, the first couple produced daughter number one. That same father marries another woman, and they produce daughter number two. That woman, on another occasion, had married a man. Together, they produced daughter number three. That man had another wife, married another woman, and they produced daughter number four. And that woman had, on another occasion, been married to another man, and they produced daughter number five. So in looking at these women, each one successively is a half-sister to the previous one. So that two is a half-sister to one through the same father. Three is a half-sister to two. They have a mother in common. Note that one, three, and five are not related to one another whatsoever. We can also say that 2 and 4 are not related to one another whatsoever. So now the Mishnah. Omru lo, meisa ishtecha. A man had been married, and following our chart, he had been married to number one. They told him that your wife died. So one died, v'noso achosa me'avia. He went and married her sister that they, that these two women share a common father. That's, they married number two. If this is true, so a man is allowed to marry his wife's sister upon the death of his own wife. Then he was told, Mesa, that two died. Finosa Chosamima, and then he went and married a sister of two, a half-sister of two, number three. They have, two and three have the same mother in common. Hence, she's called Achosamima, a sister from a common mother. Mesa, and then he was told that three died. Finosa Achosamima, and then he married number four. Four as a half-sister to three, sharing a common father. Mesa, and then he was told that number four died. Venoso achosa me'imo. And then he married five, who was a half-sister, common mother, half-sister of with number four. They're both sharing the same mother. Veninsu kulon kayamos. And here's the big mistake. It turns out that all the information he received from the very beginning was all a mistake. Mutar borishona ubishlishis ubachamishis. So the marriage to one was a kosher marriage. At that point, he had not been married to anybody. So the marriage there was kosher. The marriage to three is okay. Three is not related to one. And the marriage to five is okay. Five is not related to three, and certainly not to one. Upotros tzorosehem. Since they are, the marriage to these women are kosher, it's an acceptable marriage, in the event that the husband dies, leaving no children, leaving these wives and some co-wives, some additional wives. So intimacy with any one of them, with one, three, or five, will be the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum, and any other co-wives will be exempt. The Rashi says, "Upotras Rosem im meis ubo yovam vibem es achas mehen niftarot sorosa." In our example, we could have simply referred to three and five as co-wives of one, so that intimacy with any one of them will exempt the others from yibum. And at the same time, the osur b'shniel b'rivias, the man who is married to one, three, and five, cannot be married to two and four. The ein bias achas mehen poteres tzorosa. Intimacy upon the man's death with two or four will not exempt the other women from Ibum, because there the marriage to two and four shouldn't have taken place. V'im bo al hashnia li'achar misas harishona. And here we take a look at Rashi. Li'achar misas harishona she'emes hoyu hadvorim shel rishona. Ushar hadvorim shekir hoyu. If at the point of revelation, it was revealed that all the women were alive, with the exception of one. In other words, that one was dead. So if that information comes to him, that all the women were really alive except for one, so that when one died, that was true. So his marriage to two was legitimate. So if that's the case, then, and that's what this is referring to in the Mishnah, v'im bo al hashnia li'achar misas harishona, mutar b'shnia urvias, the marriage to two and four is legitimate, upotros tzorosehen, intimacy with two upon the husband's death, dying without children, would release four and any other legitimate co-wives. the osur b'shlishis u'b'chamishis, and at the same time, he cannot be married to three nor five. Ein bias achas man poteres tzarasa. An intimacy with three or five, as a yavoma, would not exempt the other women, because the marriage to three and five was illegitimate from the outset. Ben teisha shonim v'yom echad. Hu posel al yedei achin, v'achin poislin al yodo. If a man dies leaving brothers, the man that died also left a widow, and there are no children. One of the brothers was a nine-year-old. Intimacy that 9-year-old has with the widow will render the other brothers as unfit to do yibum. Likewise, yibum intimacy with one of the other brothers will render him, the 9-year-old, as unfit for yibum. There's a difference, though. The Mishnah points out, Elo hu posel tchila v'achin poislin tchila v'sof. The 9-year-old will disqualify the other brothers from yibum if he was the first one to have intimacy with the widow, with their brother's wife. The other brothers, their intimacy will render him unfit, will disqualify the 9-year-old, whether their intimacy was at the beginning or even if their intimacy was later on. We take a look at the Rashi. Hu posel tchila kishibo tchila, when the 9-year-old was the first one to have intimacy with the widow, then he disqualifies the other brothers from yibum. Avolo besof kimeforsh begemora. Then Rashi continues, poislin al yodo to be osoi lo kanya legamri elo kemaimer ba'almo. Intimacy of a 9-year-old does not complete the acquisition, the relationship. It's viewed as mimer. Mimer is a rabbinic institution where a man gives money to his yavama. A brother-in-law gives money to the sister-in-law, that's the yavama. And that, in the realm of yibum, as we've seen many times in this mesechta already, that does not fulfill the mitzvah of yibum. The additional intimacy is still necessary, so that when a 9-year-old does yibum with the yavoma, that doesn't clinch the deal. It's like mimer. And Rashi goes on to say, "V'alkaimelon diyesh mimer v'get ubiyo v'chalitza achar mimer." Since it doesn't complete the deal, that means if another one of the brothers has intimacy with her after the bias ben teisha, their intimacy will have an effect and disqualify him from yibum. So now the opening of the Gemara comments on a point made earlier in the Mishnah. Using the arrows that we've supplied to the side of the Gemara text, you go look at the upper arrow, and the Mishnah had said in Bo al Hashnil li achar misa sorishona. If the intimacy took place with the second woman after the death of the first one, so then he is allowed to be married to the second one. The Gemara asks, "Otu kulhu lav liachar misas rishono ninu?" Is it not so that in the examples of the Mishnah, the case of the Mishnah, all of them all of the intimacies took place after the death of the first one. So what's significant about stating that over here, that if he had relations with the second one after the after the death of the first one? That's obvious from the very beginning of the Mishnah, that his marriage to the second one was after the death of the first one. Otherwise, she's a half-sister. He wouldn't be allowed to marry his wife's half-sister. So the Gemara answers, what is unique about this section of the Mishnah? Omar Rav Sheshes, le'achar misas rishona vadai. This is the first time where we see a marriage after the certain death of the first one. Prior to this section of the Mishnah, of course we were assuming there was death, but it was revealed that they were all alive. In this section of the Mishnah, when the mistake is revealed, however, the mistake of their being alive does not include the first one. The first one in this case was really dead. And that's what Rav Sheshes is pointing out, and that's what's unique about this section of the Mishnah where the upper arrow had appeared. Ben Teisha Shonim V'chulei. The second part of the Mishnah dealt with the intimacy of a 9-year-old surviving brother. The Mishnah went on to say, Hu posel tchila v'achen poislam tchila v'sof. The Gemara asks, Ben Teisha Shonim V'yom Echad. Or let's backtrack for a second. Instead of presenting this as the Gemara asks, the Gemara will ask on the next line. First, we read this line as a statement of fact. Ben Teisha Shonim V'yom Echad Tchila Posil B'sof Lo Posil. The Mishnah indicated that the intimacy of one of the brothers, if he is the 9-year-old brother, will disqualify the other brothers from doing Yibum, provided the 9-year-old was the first one of the surviving brothers to have intimacy with the widow, with the Yavama. And when we say Besof Lo Posil, that would mean that if the Godol, if one of the adult brothers had done Mimer first, so then the Bias Ben Teisha does not disqualify the others from Yibum. So that if you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven died, leaving two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon, let us say, is an adult, and Levi is the minor. If Shimon, the adult surviving brother, gave the widow money before Levi, the minor brother, had intimacy, so Shimon will be able to continue and marry the Yavama. Levi was a minor, his intimacy with her after Shimon did Mimer with her would not disqualify Shimon from Ebal. The Gemara asks, V'hatoni Rav Zvid Bar Oshia. Rav Zvid presents a Tanaic source in which we see, Ha'oise Mimer Biavimto, V'achakach Bo Ochiv Shuben Teisha Shonav Yomechor Oleho, Posla. So here you see that exact case of an adult brother doing Mimer, and then a minor brother having intimacy with her, posla. She is rendered unfit for Yibum, so that Shimon won't be able to continue and marry her. So this Tanaic source introduced by Rav Zvid would seem to run counter to the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, Amri, Bia Posil Afilu Besof. The intimacy of a minor will, as we explained in learning the Mishnah, will have a disqualifying effect even if it is at the end. Mimer, the mimer of a cotton, if a cotton gave a minor did Mimer. I hope the words are distinguishable. If the Katan, he's the minor, did the money presentation to the Yavama, then only if it's the first contact with the Yavama amongst the brothers, the Mimer of the Katan, then that will disqualify the others from evil. Besof lo posil. However, the Mimer of a Katan later on will have no effect. The Gemara asks, Ubiya afilu besof posil. And is that really so, that the Bia, the intimacy of the minor that takes place later, will disqualify the other brothers from Ibum? V'ha'katani. But it has been taught, Ela shehu posel tchila, v'hein tchila v'sof. The minor has the effect of disqualifying others only if he is at the beginning. And the others, they can disqualify through their intimacy, or through their action, not only at the beginning, but at the end as well. Ketzad. And then in explaining this, the Mishnah says, Ben Teisha Shanav Yom Echad, Shebo al Yivimto. You see, we've dashed on the ba, so the powers of the minor to pasul is only through bia, provided it's at the beginning. But if it's not at the beginning, he won't disqualify the older brother, the adult brother from Ibum. So this is a challenge to the answer we gave just before. The Gemara answers, Chisurei Mechasra V'Hachi Kotani. We have to reread the source with the following more complete understanding. Ben Teish Hashanah V'Yom Echad Hu Posel Tchila V'Hein Poislin Tchila V'Sof. The 9-year-old will be able to disqualify the other brothers if he is the first one to make a move. They, in contrast, can disqualify whether their move is at the beginning or even at the end. Bamed mamur and b'maimer. Now, up till now, we couldn't give an example, but now we give an example. This idea of the ben teisha shanim being limited to disqualifying the other brothers is only if he disqualifying the other brothers only at the beginning is with regard to mimer that the minor does, so that his mimer will be posel only at the beginning if he's the first one to offer money. If he offers money after one of the other brothers, so his mimer will have no effect. And this is in contrast to the other brothers who do mimer, that the mimer they do can disqualify even if it's on the heels of even if it's after the mimer done by the cotton. Avol bia poselas afilu besof. However, when it comes to intimacy, that can disqualify an act of mimer done by a previous brother, even though we're dealing with the bia of the ben teisha basof. Ketzad ben teisha shana v'yom echad habo al yavimto posal al yedei achin. The intimacy of the minor, assuming he's 9 years old in a day, will disqualify the Yavama from doing Yibum with an adult brother that already had given her money. Question: Umi isle mimer klal al yedei achim? Does a 9-year-old have any mimer power to disqualify other brothers? In the most recent presentation, we were saying that the minor through mimer will disqualify the other brothers if he's the first one to make the move to do it. Does that exist at all? V'atanya ben teisha shanim v'yom echad hu posel b'davar echad v'achin poislim al yodoi be'arba dvarim. The 9-year-old can disqualify the other brothers through only one action, the other brothers can disqualify him through four actions. Hu posel al yedei achin bebia. He can disqualify them from ibum if he does bia, if he does intimacy. For achin poslim al yodo, the actions of the other brothers, the adult brothers, can disqualify the 9-year-old bebia, bemaimer, beget, bechalitza, through any one of these four instruments. Through bia's intimacy, maimer is the offering of money to her, get is offer, throw, giving her a divorce document. Chalitza is, of course, the shoe removal ceremony. So, how then can we have said earlier that the Koton has mimer power when in this source it indicates he has no mimer power? The Gemara answers, Bia de posla bein betchila bein besof psikole. The term psiko lay means something that one can say in a unqualified, positive, certain fashion. So we can speak about the bia of a cotton as being an action that will certainly disqualify in an unqualified fashion, whether it's at the beginning or even if it's at the end. So that's why this source featured the Ben Tes Posel B'Dover Echad. He can disqualify with one thing, and that one thing functions whether it's at the beginning or at the end. Mimer, the mimer of the Ben Tesha, the B'tchila Posel B'Sof Lo Posel, his mimer powers to disqualify the other brothers would only be if it's done at the beginning, but not if it's done later. So lo psikole, it wasn't unqualified. It wasn't a certain situation, was dependent on when it took place. Therefore, the source didn't concern itself with the mimer of the Ben Tesha. So just to repeat, the cotton does have mimer powers, but it's dependent on when it's done. And hence the source wasn't interested in teaching something that is dependent on when it's done. Itmar nami Amar of Yudah Mar Shmuel Yesh Loi Get. It was said also in the name of Shmuel that a Ben Tesha has a power to give a get. V'chein Amar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi Yesh Lo Mimer. The Ben Tesha has Mimer. Tanya nami Hofi Yesh Lo Get V'yesh Lo Mimer Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara asks, "V'sovar Rabbi Meir yesh lo get? Is that really so that Rabbi Meir holds that a katan can give a get that would have meaning to a yevoma v'hatanya? It has been taught suyas ben teisha, the intimacy of a 9-year-old kemaimer begodol is viewed like the money given by an adult to the yevoma. Rabbi Meir omer osu." Chalitzas ben Teisha keget begodol. And Rabbi Meir adds that the chalitza done by a minor would have the same effect as a divorce document given to a yavama by an adult. So the source emphasizes the get of a godol as something having significance. V'im Esau, if it were so that according to Rabbi Meir a minor also has get powers, lisni kegito, it should have said in the source that the chalitza of the Ben Tesha is like his get. Why does the source say like the get of an adult? Omar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Is Lei Vezutar. So Rav Huna says that the minor really does have get powers, but it is limited, it is less than the get given to a yavama by one of the adult brothers. So that the minor's get powers are reduced, but the chalitza done of a minor is the equivalent of the get done by the godol, by the adult brother. Rashi points out, Islay get, that the minor has a get, and Rashi continues, Vezutar miget the godol. But it's less effective, less powerful than the get of an adult brother. Avo chalitza soy havyo keget the godol. But the chalitza of a minor would have the same powers of the get given by an adult brother to the widow. Umishum hachi lo toni kegito. That's why the source, it wanted to show the, we'll say, the maximum power of the chalitza of the ben teisha, so it paralleled it to the get begodol. V'hashtuk meforesh v'ozil mai b'tzinuse degito miget degodol l'Rav Gamliel and later to the Rabbanan. Now what Rav Huna of Rav Yeshua does, he shows us this limitation that exists by the get of a koton. We've emphasized the names Rav Gamliel and Rabbanan. These are two Tanaic authorities that deal with the topic. This is a topic that we saw much earlier in the Masechta, known as get achar get. The cases of get achar get would be, imagine a man dies leaving a couple of brothers and of course a widow having had no children. So Reuven dies and leaves Shimon and Levi. If Shimon gives a get to the Avoma, so then she is disqualified from Yibum. She's disqualified completely from Yibum, not only with regard to Shimon who gave the get, but with regard to Levi as well. Would Levi's giving a get to that widow have any effect? Would she be considered his divorcee? So if you say, ain't get achar get, it would have no effect. Once the get is given, all get powers are used up, so to speak. If you say, yesh get achar get, so then even though one of the brothers gave a get, the get given by a second brother would have an effect. And, for example, he would not be, the second brother would not be allowed to marry the relatives of the widow. You can also have a situation where Reuven died leaving a couple of widows. Widow number one, widow number two, widow number three, and let us say that the surviving brother gave a get to widow number one and then gave a get to widow number two. Would that second get given to the second widow have any effect? So if you say ain't get achar get, would have no effect, and the surviving brother could marry the relatives of that second widow. If you say yesh get achar get, so the, even though he gave a get already to widow number one, that would have an effect. The get given to widow number two would have an effect, and the surviving brother would not be able to marry her relatives. So now, with that introduction in mind, we say that the koton has get powers, but they are not like the get of a godol. So the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. After Rav Huna says Islay Vezutar, he has get powers, but they are reduced. Vezutar means small. L'Rabban Gamliel, the Amar Ein Get Achar Get. According to Rabban Gamliel, who said that a second get given after a first get is given in the case of Yevomis, that the second get has no effect. Hani Mili Begodol Achar Godol VeKotan Achar Kotan. That's when you're dealing with a second get given by a let's say there were two adult brothers, Shimon and Levi were survivors, so that ain get achar get would say that after Shimon gave a get, the get given to the widow by Levi would have no effect, because the first get was very strong, it was powerful, and we'll say all the get powers that existed were used up. Likewise, we say ain get achar get when it's a, there were two minor brothers, the get given by the second minor brother would have no effect. Avol godol achar koton mehani. But if a koton gave a get to the Yevoma, and then an adult brother followed with his get, that would have an effect. And as a result, the adult brother would be prohibited from marrying that widow's relatives, the widow's sister, the widow's mother. L'Rabbonon, the Amri Yesh Get Achar Get, according to the Rabbonon that say that there is power in a second get following a first get, Hani Mili, Begodol Achar Godol, O Bekoton Achar Koton. That's when they are both on the same level. Avol Koton Achar Godol Lo Mahani. However, a minor's get having less power to it would have no effect if it's coming on the heels of a get given by an adult brother prior. We can now continue on the top of Amud Beis, a new Mishnah, and you can see that we have some markings, and on the side we have under our Nosei Mivne heading the double underline that you'll see used in this Mishnah, and you'll see it used in the next Mishnah as well. Mikrim Shonim, different cases shall ben teisha shonim v'yomechot sheboal yevimto, that involve the intimacy of a 9-year-old brother in with regard to his intimacy with the widow, with the yevoma. Ben teisha shonim v'yomechot sheboal yevimto v'acharkach bo oleho ochiv shehu ben teisha shonim v'yomechot, and following the first brother, another brother was also 9 years old in a day, has intimacy with her. Posel al yodo. Rashi at the top line, posel yodo. Tahav yole kemaimer achar maimer. It's like a case of maimer that follows a previous maimer. Dishneim toifsimbo, both take hold. Vekevon debayo get misheni. And since a divorce document will be necessary from the second brother, come. It now becomes a situation of a household that once the decision is made not to preserve the memory of the deceased brother, so nothing further can take place. So therefore, since, as Rashi explains, the second brother's bia will necessitate a get, the first brother cannot marry her, cannot do yibum with her, or continue with her anymore. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo posel. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Ben teisha shonim v'yom echad shebo al yevimto v'achakach bo al tzorosa. The minor had intimacy with the sister-in-law, and then he had intimacy with a second wife, with a co-wife. So that if Reuven died leaving two wives, and he had a minor brother that had intimacy with the first of the wives, and then he had intimacy with the second of the wives, so posel al yedei atzmo, he thereby prevents himself from continuing with the first woman. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo posel. According to Rabbi Shimon, though, it won't disqualify. The Rashi on the third line from the top says, posla, when the 9-year-old surviving brother has intimacy with the co-wife, Posel Rishon al Atzmo, he renders it such that the first one, the first widow, cannot continue with him. The kol shekein l'shnia, and certainly the tzora, the bayis echadu boinavein boinashnei botim. This is again a function of a drosha that we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that one widow is to be the source of preserving the memory of the deceased, but not two. The kevon de ein biyosav rishona kinyan gomor, and since the intimacy that he had with the first one wasn't a full-fledged acquisition, mehanyo bias shnio latzricho get, the intimacy then with the second one does have room to take hold, and as a result, a get is going to be required. V'kevon de yoiv get, kom kule beisa b'lo yibone. Very similar to what we saw in the previous case. The entire household now comes under the restriction of once non-building takes place, no further preservation of that household can take place. And as we saw, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Let's take a look at Rashi on Rabbi Shimon here. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo posel de Rabbi Shimon bias ben teisha lo kanyo mishairo elo sofek kanyo sofek lo kanyo. Rabbi Shimon doesn't say, like the Tanakhama said, that the intimacy of the nine-year-old has a partial acquisition effect but leaves room open for other things. Rather, according to Rabbi Shimon, his approach to the Bias Ben Teisha is Sufek, whether it's Kone completely, Sufek, or there's a doubt that it's not Kone at all. Rashi goes on, Ikanyo Kanyo Legamri, Koni Legamri. If the intimacy of the nine-year-old has the acquisition effect, so it will be complete. V'loka mahanya bias ochiv, and there will be no room for the brother, like in the first case of this Mishnah, v'chein biyosu b'tzorasa, or his own subsequent intimacy with the co-wife, as the second example of Mishnah, will have no effect because of this side of analysis, that the bia of the initial bia of the minor was a complete acquisition. V'ilav kanya have, v'ilav kanya, and if the bia of the ben teisha is not kone at all, havele kamisha lo boal lozu velozu, then it's as if nothing happened, not with the first widow nor the second one. Umutu l'kayim harishona, and he can stay with the first one. Avol shnia lo mekayim, but the second widow he cannot maintain. Dilmo biyoso kanya barishona, v'kayim shnia leo beisur shnei botim, because of the original side of the analysis, that the intimacy with the first woman was an act of complete acquisition, and if that were the case, so the second widow is off limits on the grounds of isur shnei botim, that a person in Yibum, you reconstruct the house that with the, i.e., the death of the brother. Obligates the construction of one house, namely one widow to be married and not two. The Gemara, Tanya, Omar Lohem Rabbi Shimon Lichachomim. Im Bia Rishona Bia, Bia Shnia Eino Bia. If the intimacy concerning the minor, the first intimacy of the minor is an act of intimacy, then the act of the second one is of no consequence, namely ein bio achar bio. V'im bio rishona ein bio, and if the act of acquisition of the first one is not an acquisition, then bio shnionami ein bio. Then the act of the second act of acquisition done by the minor is also of no consequence. So that was what we saw earlier in the Rashi, who took it from here, Rabbi Shimon's analysis as to why the sheni, the second minor, or the second act of intimacy done with the tzora, is of no effect. Masnisin delo keben azai. The position taken by our Mishnah is not the position of ben azai. Desanya, Now, before we go on, let's glance at Rashi just to serve as introduction. Masnisim de lo kiben azay, masnisim de choshiv biyazu kemaimer. Our Mishnah, which views the intimacy of the minor as maimer, vikotoni de mahani maimer achar maimer. And our Mishnah tells us that the second maimer takes effect, has influence on the heels of a first maimer. Bein biyavam echad ushtei yavamas kisefa. Whether it be the case of one yavam and two widows, like the second example of the Mishnah, bein shnei yivmin viyavoma achas kegon resha, or the case of two yivmin and two surviving brothers and one widow, like in the case of the resha. That is the lo kibenazai, that our Mishnah, which holds according to the chacham of the Mishnah, yesh. Let's just reiterate a point that we mentioned earlier, that the bia of the ben teisha is considered like maimer. So our Mishnah indicated that yesh maimer achar maimer, according to the chachomim in the Mishnah, whether it's a case of one yavam and two yavamas, or two yivmin and one yavama. Ben Azai doesn't equate the two cases, and as we will now see, desanya ben Azai omer, yesh maimer achar maimer, a second maimer can take effect, can have influence, b'shnei yivmin v'yavam achas, when you're dealing with two brothers and one widow. However, v'ein maimer achar maimer b'shtei yavamas v'yavam echad. But if you're dealing with one yavam and two widows, then we don't say that a second maimer can take effect. And Rashi explains that each brother has, we'll say, maimer powers, maimer rights. So each brother has his own full supply of maimer power. Therefore, if you have two brothers and one widow, the second brother, when he does maimer, so he's coming into the picture with his full allocation of maimer power. And that can have an effect. However, when you're dealing with one yavam and two yavamas, as we say, one per customer, that yavam has maimer that he used up with regard to the first widow. And hence, his offering of money to the second widow, in the case of one yavam and two widows, that second yavam, maimer done with that original yavam, will have no effect. He's used up all his maimer powers on the first widow. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, the last of the narrow lines of the Gemara. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, shebo al yavimto umes. The 9-year-old surviving brother did yibum, and then he died, leaving no children. Choletzes velo misyabemes. When we say leaving no children, that's kind of obvious, because we generally speaking throughout the Shas say that a minor male does not bear children. So this particular minor had done Yibum, the act of intimacy, died. What is to take place? Their chalitza is done with her, but no yibum. The explanation behind that is that when the ben teisha did yibum with her, it's not a complete act of yibum. When in normal cases, let's say Reuven dies, leaving Shimon and Levi, and Shimon does yibum with her, she becomes Shimon's full-fledged wife, and that erases any trace of Reuven's identity in her. So that if Shimon dies, leaving no children, Levi can do Yibum with her. That very woman that in her distant past had been Reuven's wife. However, if Reuven died, leaving Shimon and Levi, and Shimon, let us say, was a minor, so his yibum was not a complete acquisition. The identity the Reuven identity with regard to this woman is still there. It hasn't been erased. And the, with Shimon's death, Shimon being the minor that had intimacy with her, upon Shimon's death, what exists in this woman vis-a-vis Levi, the third brother, is a zika, is a yibum bond coming from two brothers, two yivmen, the original Reuven regular husband and Shimon as well. And yibum is done with a woman that has only a zika, a connection through one man, not a connection that exists because of two men. You could see this in the Rashi. Ben Teisha Shonav Yomechot Shibav Vintu Meis Choletzes Vol Misha Bemis Chalitza is done, but no Yibum. Sheish Leil Zikas Shnei Yivmin. She has a Yibum bond coming from two men. She B'Maimer Zeh. Rashi uses the term Maimer Zeh, apparently a reference to the intimacy of the nine-year-old. We said it has the power of Maimer. The she doesn't leave, or she doesn't lose the original bond formed by her first widowhood. And the bond formed by her having had intimacy with the minor is also present now. Utnan beperek arbo achin. It was taught earlier in this mesechta. Mi shalal zikas yavam echad velo shalal zikas shnei yivmin. A yavama that's qualified for the mitzvah of yibum is a woman who is coming to the mitzvah with the bond formed by one husband, not a woman that has a double yibum bond. We continue in the Mishnah. Nosa Isha Umeis, a ben teisha shana v'yomechad that married a woman and then he died. Arei zu ptura, the widow is exempt. There's no yibum done with her. She's not considered a. She was never considered the wife because the kiddushin that was done, the marriage done by the minor, is of no halachic significance because of the general principle that ein kinyan lekotin. Ben teisha shonav yom echad shebo al yivimto, a minor that had intimacy with the yivama umishihigdil nosa isha acheres, and when he got older, he became adult, he married a second woman, Umeis, and he died, leaving no children. Im lo yoda es harishona mishehigdil, if he had no intimacy with the original, with the yavoma, after his becoming an adult, harishona choletzes velo misyabemes, the first one will do chalitza. She has the zika of two husbands, and therefore not lo misyabemes, therefore she does not do yibum. Yibum is done with a woman who has only a yibum bond formed by one husband, not a woman who carries upon her a bond created by two men. Vehashnia, the second widow, this is the woman that the Ben Teisha had married after he became an adult, so she's a regular wife. Oy choletzes o misyabemes. Here you see the yibum option is open. She's a regular wife and now a regular widow of a man that married her when he was already an adult. Rabbi Shimon Omer miyabem le'ezo sheyirtze v'choletz lashnia. Rashi, in the lower part of the narrow line, says Rabbi Shimon Omer miyabim le'ezish yutzah deles le zikas shnei yivmen v'hona mipolig Rabbi Shimon barba achin. Rabbi Shimon is not bothered by the concept of a woman having two yibum bonds upon her. Therefore, the minor, upon his death, even if you say that there's a yibum bond formed, but that doesn't disqualify the woman from being a yivoma. So therefore, when Shimon dies, Levi can marry, can do yibum with either one of these two women. So, but we should note, he does yibum with one, and then he does chalitza with the second woman. Generally speaking, when a man dies leaving two wives, the yibum done with one is enough. It exempts the need for doing anything else. But here, you see that even though Levi does yibum with one of those two women that were married to Shimon, the second woman needs chalitza, and Rashi explains why that is. V'choleis l'shnia, d'ho lav tzoros ninhu lefturi chado b'yibum chaverta. They're not viewed as full-fledged co-wives, when, which, if that were the case, the yibum done with one would exempt the other from the need for chalitza. V'yibumish revayu lo, and marrying both of them, when Shimon dies for Levi to marry both of them, is also out of the question. Since there was a partial element of co-wifehood over here, the bia of the Ben Teisha with the Yavama, we said before, was like Mimer, which has rabbinic powers, of rabbinic bonding powers. And since there's a partial element of there being co-wives, also the Meimar, people will think that Shtei Yavamas Abos Mibayas Echad Misyabas, if they see Levi marrying both of them, they will think that in general, when a man dies leaving two widows, you can do Yibum with a surviving brother can do Yibum with both of the widows, and that certainly is not true. We continue in the Mishnah. Echot shu ben teisha shonim v'yom echot, v'echot shu ben esrim shalohe v'shtei sairas. When we speak about a minor, we're speaking about both cases, whether it's a chronological minor, he's 9 years old in a day, or even if he reaches 20 years of age and he hasn't produced any pubic hairs, both of them are considered minors. Omar Rova, Ha di Omar Rabbonon Zikas Shnei Yivmin Michlitz Cholzi Yivumi Lo Miyama. That which we have said, the Rabbonin say that a woman that carries upon her the bond formed by two yivmen, she does chalitza and does not do yibum. Lo tema hecha deika tzora deika lemigzar mishum tzora. Don't say that that's limited to a case where there is a co-wife, and that we make this gzera because there is a co-wife. Tehahacha, because you can see in the resha of the Mishnah, lekotzara, there's no indication of a co-wife, and yet you see michlatz cholza yivumi lo miyavma. If you go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we saw a minor who had intimacy with a Yavama. So, using names, we had Reuven, Shimon, and we'll have Levi. Reuven died, so one Yibum bond is formed. And then the minor dies, a second Yibum bond is the minor who had done Yibum with her, he dies. And we said that his marriage to her, his intimacy with the widow, with Reuven's widow, doesn't constitute a complete marriage, hence it doesn't erase the Reuven identity in her, so she has the Yibum bond through Reuven and through Shimon. The Mishnah said, Choletzes v'lomis yabemes. So Levi does Chalitza, no Yibum, and there is no co-wife in that picture. Gemara that we just read and translated is still begging additional explanation. So we look in Rashi. He fills in the picture. Rashi on the second wide line under the Gemara text, Lo temo hechod ikot sora, kagoin, like the case featured earlier in the Masechta d'Arba Achin, in the Perek of Arba Achin Disnan. The Mishnah there features a case. We have a little diagram to illustrate that case. So if you look on the side, you see Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are indicated. And Reuven is married to a woman, Shimon is married to a woman, and Levi is married to a woman. These women are three unrelated women. Reuven, step one, Reuven dies, and leaving his wife, Aleph. Shimon, step two, does Mimer with her. And then step three, Shimon dies. Now when Shimon dies, he dies leaving the two widows, so to speak. Aleph was bonded to him through the Yibum Mimer track. And Bez was Shimon's regular wife. And now with that in mind, we say that Aleph and Bez, these two women, will do chalitza with Levi, but not marriage to Levi. Aleph, we want you to note, has zikas shnei yivmin. So Levi is not going to do yibum with Aleph. She's the case of zikas shnei yivmin, because Aleph has a Reuven and Shimon identity associated with her. And Shimon's regular wife is now a co-wife of a problematic woman. So we've seen many times in the Masechta that the tzora of an erva, the co-wife of a forbidden relative, is also exempt. So here you have the co-wife, Shimon's own base, the regular wife, is a co-wife of Aleph, a woman that carries with her zika shnei yivmin. Now we continue with the Rashi, Disnan, Shlosh Achim Nisuin Shlosh Nachrias. Three brothers, each one is married to a separate woman. They're unrelated. Nachrios in this case means unrelated to one another. Umeis echod mehen v'osabo asheni maimer. Reuven died and Shimon did maimer with that widow. Umeis and Shimon died. Hare elu, the women Aleph and Beis, are chotzos v'lo misyabmos. The aminam begemara. I zikas shnei yivmin doraitza. If it were so that a woman carrying the Yibum bond of two men was a Isur Doraisa Chalitza Nami Lo Teboi, then you wouldn't need even Chalitza. Levi wouldn't do anything. Umishaninon, and the Gemara there answers that it's not Doraisa, Midrabonon. Gzeira Shemo Yomru Shtei Yivomois Abois Mibayas Echod Misyabmois. We say that Levi's expectation of we'll say the disqualification of Aleph is a rabbinic disqualification, meaning on a Torah level both women are eligible for Yibum. Aleph on a Torah level is simply Reuven's widow. Bez is simply Shimon's widow. They're two women representing two different households. There should be no reason on a Torah level for Levi not doing Yibum with both of them. But nevertheless, the Rabbanan say, we don't want Levi to do Yibum with both of them, because if he does, people will think that people, again, it's in the minds of people, that the two women, Aleph and Bez, were Shimon's widows. And if they were really Shimon's widows, then two women from one house are not to be married through Yibum. So here they're not really two women from one house, they're two women from two houses. Nevertheless, we don't want Levi marrying both of them. So we say he doesn't marry both because of this gzera of shtei yevamos abos mibayis echad. So what does happen? Levi does chalitza with both of them. He does chalitza with Aleph because of this concept of Zika Shnei Yivmin, which we say is a rabbinic concept, and he does Chalitza with Shimon because she's a real Yivoma, but she happens to be a a type of co-wife of a woman that has this problem. So she's not eligible for Yibum either on a rabbinic level. But all that the Gemara is pointing out is that this concept of Zikas Shnei Yivmin is not limited to the case that we featured with our diagram. Namely, it's a problem even if she is a widow that exists in isolation. Or if you want to use the diagram where Reuven had died leaving a widow and Shimon was not married to another woman at all, simply did Mimer with her, and with Shimon's death, Levi again would be expected to do Chalitza, not Yibum, because the widow of Reuven carries with her a Yibum bond formed with the Mimer of Shimon, and that's called Zika Shnei Yivmin, regardless of Shimon having or not having a wife of his own. Let's continue in the Gemara. Nosa Isha Umes Hare Zubtura. If the Ben Tesha had married a woman and died, so she is exempt. And we explained that a minor has no kinyan powers of acquisition. So he can't create a marital bond with a woman. Tanina Lahadutana Rabbanan. So our Mishnah reflects that which you see in a brisa giving, when you have a situation like this, the brisa that follows is of authoritative nature because the Mishnah bears it out. The brisa says, Shoita v'katan shenosu umes. A shota is an imbecile, caught a minor that happened to marry women and died. The nishosem turos minachalitzim na'yibum. Their wives, i.e., widows, are exempt from chalitza and yibum. Ben teisha v'chule mishihikdil. And you can see this is a quote from the Mishnah, and we said that the ben teisha had later on, after he became adult, married a wife of his own, and then he died leaving no children. So the Mishnah said that the shnia oichaletz is omis yabemes, the regular wife of this individual is subject to yibum as well. She's a regular wife, and here she's now a widow of a husband who left no children. The Gemara asks, V'yasu bias ben teisha kemaimer begodol v'titche tzora miyibum. Why don't we, in that case of the Mishnah, view the yavama that the ben teisha had intimacy with, why don't we view her as a woman that carries with her the bond formed by two husbands, the original husband that died giving way to the minor doing evil with her. The bia of the minor is like mimer done by an adult. When the ben teisha, when even though he dies as an adult, but the widow carries with her two bonds, the bond formed by the first husband and the bond formed by the bia of the ben teisha, which is considered like mimer. So that we'll call her the yavama, the first woman, is as we described earlier, is a problematic individual with regard to the mitzvah of yibum. She's problematic for Levi, a third brother, the surviving brother. And the co-wife, the woman that was married by the ben teisha after became an adult, is now the co-wife of a problematic woman. So she should be also exempted. She should be disqualified from yibum based on her being a co-wife of a problematic woman. She is the tzora of a woman that has zika shnei yivmin. Why then does the Mishnah say that the shnia is oichaletzis omis yabemes? Why is the yibum option open? Omar Rav loy osu bias ben tesha kemaimer begodol. So Rav says very simply that the intimacy of the ben tesha is not the equivalent of maimer begodol. It's less than a maimer begodol, and therefore it's like we'll say it's almost non-existent. So that the second woman is not rejected on the grounds of her being a tsora of a problem, the co-wife of a problematic woman. So just to repeat that point, therefore the second wife is not disqualified. The maimer that the Kotan did with the Yavama is not strong enough to disqualify his regular wife, the woman that he married after he became adult. Ushmuel Omar also viosu. Shmuel, he disagrees with Rav. He says that the Bias Ben Teisha is like Maimer Begodol. V'chein Omar Rabbi Yochanan also viosu. They sure did. The double expression also is they really sure did view the Bia of the Ben Teisha like the Maimer of a Godol. Well, if that's the case, viosu, then as the Gemara opened up two lines above, then they should have made the Bias Ben Teisha as Maimer V'Godol, and the second woman should be disqualified being a co-wife of a woman carrying Zika Shnei Yivmin. So according to our Mishnah, we seem to have a, we'll say the Mishnah presents a problem for the position of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi. The issue of a of let's say being a co-wife of a problematic woman is a machloikis tanoim. Now, when we speak about the co-wife of a problematic woman as presenting, let's say, a reason for non-yibum, this is what we had discussed earlier. So if we just go back, let us go back one line in our Gemara. Before we read Rav, the Gemara had asked, Bias ben Teisha, kemaimer begodol, v'titchet sorah miyibum. The woman that the minor had married after he became adult is the co-wife of whom? She is the co-wife of a woman that has two zikos upon her. The ziko from Reuven and from Shimon. And this, we'll say this rejection from, or this disqualification from Yibum, something that we saw there in Perek Dalet Achim. If you go back to the chart that we had, remember the chart at the lower part of the page in the margin, we saw that Levi will not do Yibum with Shimon's widow, which we called Bais. Why? Why does Levi not do Yibum with Bais? Because Bais is the co-wife of Aleph, and what's the problem in Aleph? She has a Reuven identity and a Shimon identity, Zika Shnei Yivmin. So, do we say that the co-wife of a woman that has Zika Shnei Yivmin is disqualified? So Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, well, that issue is a machlokes tanoim. Hach tano the arba achin, the Mishnah that we saw in Perek Arba Achin, that's the Mishnah we featured on with our diagram. Gozar mishum tzora. He restricts the yibum with the regular woman because she is a co-wife of a problematic woman. So that in the chart we had, Bais was a regular wife. She was a widow of one husband, and that's it. But we made a gzera not to do Yibum, even with her, because of the presence of the woman Aleph there that had Zikas Shnei Yivmin upon her. The Ashminin Begodov Wadin Bekotin. The Mishnah there tells us a case where you had, where Shimon was a Godol, and the same din would apply with regard to a cotton. And the that is the Bias cotton, as Rabbi Yochanan said, that the Bia done by a cotton would be like Mimer of a Godol, and that woman, the first woman, would have a Zika Shnei Yivin upon her. And therefore, that Tana says that the second woman, the regular widow, does not do Yibum. V'hai the Omar Godol, and that which the Mishnah there featured an adult brother, Mishum de Begodol Koi, because that was the context of the Mishnah's discussion. It was dealing with Gedolim. V'hai Tana Dehocha, the Mishnah over here, that says that the Shnia is Mis Yabemes, Svira Le Asu, holds also like I said, Rabbi Yochanan, that the Bias Ben Teisha is like Mimer of a Godol. However, Velo Gozar Mishum Tzora, they didn't restrict the Yibum done with the regular wife in anticipation of Yibum being done with the problematic woman. Vashminan Bekotan, Vuadin Begodol. Our Mishnah teaches this halacha with regard to the cotton, and the same would apply with a Godol. V'hai dekomar bekotan, that which the Mishnah features a case involving a cotton, the bekotan koi, because the context of the Mishnah was to feature halachas regarding minors. Before we continue in the Gemara, note first of all that we have a long marking. It's called a Maisa. There's an incident that the Gemara features, and it lasts all of these lines. And on the side, on the margin of the Gemara, there are no say-heading. We've written, Maisa she Rebbe Eliezer, Omar Halacha. And we have a story where Rebbe Eliezer said over a Halacha, V'lo Omroi Mishmeidu Rebbe Yochanan, Rabbe. And he didn't say it over in the name of Rebbe Yochanan, who was his teacher. V'hikpid olav Rebbe Yochanan, and we will see that Rebbe Yochanan is very upset. He becomes let's say angered by Rebbe Elozer's not giving credit to his Rebbe, to Rebbe Yochanan, by citing his name. Now the Gemara. Ozal Rebbe Elozer Omar Lishmaitzo Bei Midrasha. Rebbe Elozer went and said over this teaching of the viewing of the Bias Ben Teisha as Maimer by a Godol. He said this over in the base medrash. For lo omro mishmeidu Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't say it over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one who had actually taught that. Shama Rabbi Yochanan ikpid. Rabbi Yochanan heard of this and he became upset. In order to comfort Rabbi Yochanan, or in order to assuage his wrath, oil lugabe Rabbi Ami Rabasi. Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, when they saw Rabbi Yochanan angry, they said to him, Omrulei, lo, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, lo kachoya hamaisa beveis hakneses shel Tveria. Was there not the following incident that took place in the shul in Tiberias? There's a reference to a point of halacha that we will not get into over here. Beneger Shiesh Beroyshoi Glustera. Neger is a type of bolt which can be used to lock doors. And at the tip of this bolt or rod, there was a Glustera, a spherical appendage that could be used for crushing garlic. It has a certain vessel capacity to it. Shenechluku Bo, regarding this Neger that had the blister at its end, Nechlu Bar Ablozer Rabbi Yossi, they argued, can this item be moved on Shabbos? Is it considered a vessel or is it not considered a vessel? If it's a vessel, it can be moved on Shabbos, and if not, then not. And they argued, Hachikoro Sefer Torah b'chamoson, until they ripped up a Sefer Torah in their anger. The Gemara asked, Koru Salkadech, what they, these great rabbis, Rebelozer and Rebius, they ripped up a Sefer Torah, Elo Emo, Shenikra Sefer Torah b'chamoson, that each one was pulling on a Sefer Torah in their own respective directions, resulting in the Sefer Torah ripping. Not that they tore it premeditated, but they were involved with their argument and their wrath, that's what resulted. V'hoya Shom Rav Yossi ben Kisma, and present at this during this controversy was Rav Yossi ben Kisma Omar Tami Ani. He says, I would be amazed im lo yeh beis haknesses zu avidus kechovim, that this shul, the synagogue, won't turn into a house of idolatry, or in contemporary terms, that I'd be surprised if this house doesn't turn, this shul doesn't turn into a church. V'chein havei, and that's what happened. So that Rav Ami and Rav Asi were telling Rav Yochanan, basically, cool it, take it easy, because wrath and anger leads to this. Hoder ik betvei. Upon hearing this story, Rav Yochanan got even angrier. In order to make their point, Rav Ami and Rav Asi cited an incident involving two colleagues, two contemporaries, namely Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Yossi. They were two equals. Rebbe Yochanan says to Rav Ami, Rav Asi, are you trying to say, says Omar Chavrusonami, are you trying to insinuate, to suggest that Rebbe Lozer is to me, Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe Lozer is to me like Rebbe Yossi was to Rebbe Lozer, meaning Chavrusa, they were colleagues of one another. I'm the man's, I'm his Rebbe, I'm his rabbi. Oyu legabe Rav Yankiv Bar Idi. Rav Yankiv Bar Idi entered also with the same goal, to assuage the wrath of Rabbi Yochanan Amarle. And Rabbi Yankiv Bar Idi says, Kashet Siva Hashem es Moshe Avdoi, Kein Siva Moshe es Yoshua, V'chein Oso Yoshua, Lo Heisir Dover Mikol Eshet Siva Hashem es Moshe. As Hashem commanded Moshe communicated Torah and instructions to Yoshua, and Yoshua did everything, didn't miss a beat. He didn't delete one iota of that which Moshe had taught him. V'chi al kol davar she'omar Yoshua, do you think that everything that Yoshua, who was, and we want to emphasize here, was a student of Moshe Rabbeinu, do you think that everything that Yeshua said, Hoya Omer Lohem, Kach Omer Li Moshe, that thusly Moshe told me? No. Elo Yeshua Yoshev Adorish Stam. Yeshua would teach over halachas in a general, unnamed fashion. Fakol Yaidim Shetoyrosu Shel Moshehi. And everyone knows that which Yeshua is teaching is that which he received from his Rebbe. Ach Rebbe Lozer Talmidcha Yoshev Adorish Stam. So to your student, Rebbe Lozer, says over halachas, including the idea of the bias ventatious, is like maimer begadol. Vakol yoidim kishelcha. Everyone knows it's your halacha without his saying it explicitly, without stating your name explicitly. Omar lohem. Rabbi Yochanan, upon hearing this, was very impressed, and he says to them, to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, b'nei ma iatem yoidim lefayis keben idi chaverenu. Why is it that you guys, you don't know how to appease like Ben Edi, like Rav Yankiv Ben Edi, our friend? The Gemara asks, "For Rabbi Yochanan, my time a kopid kulei hai." Why was Rabbi Yochanan so upset at the outset? Why was it so important to Rabbi Yochanan for Rabbi Lozer to cite halachas in Rabbi Yochanan's name? In other words, in giving credit to Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar of Yudah, Omar Rav. And here we have an answer. This answer lasts a number of lines, takes us to the fourth line from the top of Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph. So Rav Yudah Marav says, "My dichtiv agura b'olecho ilamim." David HaMelech said this, that I will dwell in your tent, olamim, in all worlds. V'chi efshir logur b'shnei olamim. Can a person dwell in two worlds? There's olam hazeh, the world of the living, and then there's the other world, the next world. A person is either here or there. So how can David expect to be in both worlds? Elo Omar David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono shel Olam. David prays to the Almighty, says, Yehi Ratzon, it should be your will, Sheyomru, that we're at the top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, Sheyomru Devar Shmua Mipi B'Olam Hazeh, that people should say over Torah thoughts, Torah teachings, in my name. In other words, those things that I taught people, that after I die, they should say it over in my name. They should, that after I die, people should be saying things in my name. All Torah scholars that merit having things said over in their name in this world, his lips murmur. His dovavos is they his lips flutter, they murmur in the grave. This is obviously a very esoteric topic. What exactly does that mean? I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that if you were to, let us say, stand next to someone's grave and watch the lips of the deceased while a halacha is said over in his name, so that you'll see his lips murmuring. But there is a there's certainly a reference to something here of a deeper nature that's very, very significant. Otherwise, the great Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't be so concerned about it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok ben Zira v'itema Shimon Zira ma'ikra. What is the pasuk that indicates this? V'chichech v'chikech kiyein atov holech l'dodi l'meisharim dovev sifsei yeshenim. So you see in this this pasuk a reference to the sifsei yeshenim, the lips of the sleeping, the lips of the deceased, dovev, and the illustration is kekomer shel anavim, like a mound of grapes. A mound of grapes. The kumer is a mound of grapes that are set aside in anticipation of wine making. They're piled up in a pile where they start to heat up and soften and become more useful in the wine making process when they achieve this state. Ma kumer shalanovin kibushim niach odem etzba olav miyadovev, just like a pile of grapes left, as we just described, they soften to the extent that if you just place your finger on them, they start to flow. The wine will start to flow forth. Af tamidei chachamim, so too with Torah scholars. Kevan she'omrim dvar shmua mipim b'mazeh, when something is said, when Torah is said in their name in this world, sifsoseim, their lips dovavos bekever, their lips start to flow or flutter in the grave. The Mishnah mentioned Echad ben Teisha Shanim v'chulei v'Echad shu ben Esrim. We said that whether you're dealing with a chronological minor, he's 9 years old, or someone who reaches even age 20 but hasn't brought forth pubic hairs, they have the status, the legal status of a minor. And that has ramifications with regard to everything that we had learned in the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we note the topic that we're about to discuss is Ben Esrim Shlohevishtei Cyrus, a 20-year-old man that hasn't produced the pubic hairs. Haim hu soris o kotnis. Is he viewed as a soris? A soris is an impotent male, but he's considered an adult. Or is he viewed as a minor? The Gemara, Viraminu, we raise as a contradiction. Ben Esrim Shonav Shlevishtei Saris, a man who's reached 20 years of age and has not produced the two pubic hairs, Yoviu Raya Shuben Esrim, Vuasaurus. Let proof be brought that he is in fact 20 years of age, and he is considered a Saurus. Lo Choylets Velo Miabe. Chalitza is not done, nor is Yibum. He's exempted from the Parsha of Mitzvah Zibum, because he's not capable, he's impotent, he's not capable of reproduction. And therefore, it represents the antithesis of Yibum. Yibum is the mitzvah in order to preserve the name, the memory of the deceased brother through childbearing, but he's incapable of it. But what we want to emphasize is that we say lo choles v'yomim, we don't say that he is a minor, and let's simply continue waiting. The source goes on with a female equivalent, bas esrim shamash lo hevio shtei sayos, a 20-year-old female who hasn't produced the pubic hairs which indicate adulthood, yaviu raya shi bas esrim. The island is, if proof is brought that she's reached 20 and she lacks the shtei sayos, so she's considered the islandess, lo choletzis from the sabemus, and if she happens to be the widow, so no chalitza is done, nor is yibum done with her. She is also incapable of procreation. But the question is, if we focus on the male, 20 years old, that hasn't brought forth two hairs, he's viewed as an adult, he's viewed as a saurus, and there's no waiting, there's no further waiting. So, but in the Mishnah, we said that if he's 20 and hasn't produced the two hairs, he's like a cotton, he's like a minor. When, what do you do with a minor? You wait. Ha itmar Allah. It was stated concerning the source that we just read, Omar Shmuel bar Yitzchok Omar Rav, who shenoldu loy simone soros. This is a point that we've learned earlier in the Masechta as well. The declaration, conclusion that he is a soros is a function of something additional. They've also produced other body signs, he also shows other body signs that indicate this Saurus status. And as we said, this is a point that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, where you can see what those signs are. They involve a skin texture and voice and other considerations. So those other signs are present. If that be the case, so then we declare him a Saurus. Omar Rava Daika Nami, by careful reading of the source, you can see this. Dikotoni Vahu Hasaurus, and he is the Saurus. That expression, that language indicates that there is some other telltale sign that he is the Saurus. Shma Mino. So this is conclusive, and hence there is no contradiction. The Mishnah was talking about someone who reached 20 without the shtei sayos, but didn't show these specific signs. Hence, he is called a minor. The Gemara goes on, v'chilo nodlo simone soros ad kama. And in the case of our Mishnah, where the simone soros, the signs of srisus, did not appear, so how long do we continue waiting, or how long do we view him as a minor? Toni debe Rabbi Chia ad roiv shnoisov, until the majority of the expected human lifespan. And that is based on the pasuk that says Yemeshino Seim Shivim Shana, that a man is granted 70 years of life. So once he completes 35 years, he has completed the majority of his life. He's gone 35 years and a day. At that point, he would be considered a gadol, an adult. Ki osu l'kamei derava, when a ben esrim that didn't produce the two Cyrus would come before Rava. E kochush, if he was emaciated, Omar lehu zilu avruhu, he would tell those around him, give this guy stuff to eat. Avruhu means feed him, give him to drink until he becomes, Rashi says, Achei bori v'shamim, comes healthy and fat. In other words, he's right now emaciated, so give him to eat so that he's no longer that way. he bori, and if the fellow that came was corpulent, was obese, and he was 20, that didn't produce the shtei saris, omru omalu, he would tell them, zilu akhshuhu, we could say, put this guy on a diet, make him lose weight, the hani simonim, the pubic hairs, zimnin de nasri, machmash kechishusa. Sometimes they simply fall out. They don't grow, or they might have been there, or they fell out because of emaciation. Sometimes they'll fall out as a result of obesity. So that we have to test out the situation that maybe he is capable of producing the two hairs. Just change his current body size or current body state through the aforementioned methods, and then we can come to something more conclusive. Namely, maybe he will produce the two hairs and we can declare him a godol. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.